Chapter 4. Paul's Childhood. Paul's figure was rather small and slight, like his mother's. His fair hair gradually became dark brown. His eyes were grey. He was a pale, quiet child who seemed old for his years. He was sensitive to what other people felt, especially his mother. When she was upset, he understood and could have no peace. About this time, the family moved to another house near the top of a hill, commanding a fine view of the valley below. After dark, Paul used to go out to play under the street lamp with the other children of their street. Then, when the miners stopped coming home from the mine, he ran fearfully back to the kitchen. The lamp still burned. The fire shone red. Mrs. Morell sat alone. Steam rose from the cooking pot. A dinner plate lay waiting on the table. The whole room seemed to be waiting. Waiting for the man who was sitting in his cold dirt, dinnerless, a mile away from home across the darkness, drinking himself drunk. When Morell did come home, everyone in the house kept quiet because he was dangerous. He ate his food roughly, and when he had finished, pushed all the pots away to lay his head and arms on the table. Then he went to sleep, heavy with beer and tiredness and bad temper. Morell was shut out from family events. No one told him anything. He was an outsider. The only times he entered family life were when he found jobs to do around the house. Sometimes in the evening he mended boots, or the kettle, or the metal bottle for cold tea, which he took every day to the mine. Then he always wanted helpers, and the children enjoyed helping him. He loved telling young Arthur stories about the little horses that the miners used down in the mine. But these happy evenings only took place if Morell had some job to do. Then he always went to bed early. The children felt safe when their father was in bed. Mrs. Morell had given most of her attention to William, but when he went to work in Nottingham and was not so much at home, she made a companion of Paul. The two brothers were a little jealous of each other, but at the same time, they were good friends. Friday night was baking night and market night, because the wages were paid on Fridays. It was the rule that Paul should stay at home and watch the bread in the oven. He loved to be by himself and draw or read. He was very fond of drawing. Mrs. Morell enjoyed her marketing. The marketplace was always full of women shoppers. She usually quarreled with the cloth seller, chatted with the fruit man, laughed with the fish man, was coldly polite to the man selling pots. But this time, a little dish decorated with blue flowers caught her eye. He told her it cost 7 pence. She put the dish down and walked away. Suddenly, the pot man shouted, "Do you want it for 5 pence? She was surprised. She bent down and picked up the dish. "I'll have it," she said. Paul was waiting for her. He loved her homecoming. She was always at her best, tired, happy, weighed down with parcels. She dropped her parcels and her string bag on the table. "Is the bread done?" she asked, going to the oven.
"The last one is baking," he replied. "You needn't look. I haven't forgotten it."
"How much do you think I bought this for?" she said, taking the dish out of its newspaper wrapping.
1 shilling and 3 pence, said Paul.
5 pence. The two stood together admiring the dish. She unfolded another piece of newspaper and showed him some little flowering plants. 4 pence for these.
How cheap! He cried.
Yes, but I couldn't afford it this week of all weeks. Yet she was full of satisfaction. They were very poor that autumn. William had just gone to London, and his mother missed his money. He sent 10 shillings once or twice, but he had many expenses. He wrote to his mother regularly, once a week. He told her all his doings, how he made friends, how he was enjoying London. All day long, as she cleaned the house, she thought of him. He was in London. He would do well. William was coming home at Christmas for 5 days. There had never been such preparations. Paul and Arthur decorated the kitchen with green leaves. Annie made pretty strings of coloured paper. Mrs. Morell baked a special fruit cake, a big rice cake, little cheesecakes. Everything was decorated. A great fire burned. The smell of fresh baking filled the kitchen. William was due at 7 o'clock, but he was late. The children had gone to the station to meet him. Morell sat in his armchair, full of nervous excitement, and Mrs. Morell quietly went on with her baking. Neither one spoke. They waited and waited. At last, there was the sound of voices and footsteps.
"He's here!"
cried Morell, jumping up. The door burst open, and William came in. He dropped his bag and took his mother in his arms. For 2 seconds, no longer, she held him and kissed him. Then she stood back and, trying to be normal, said, "But how late you are!" "Aren't I?" he cried, turning to his father. "Well, Dad?"
"Well, my boy."
Morell's eyes were wet. "We thought you were never coming." The two men shook hands. "Everything's just as it was," said William, looking round. Everybody was still for a second. Then he leaned forward, picked up a newly baked biscuit, and put it whole into his mouth. He had brought them endless presents. Every penny he had spent on them. For his mother, there was an umbrella with gold on the handle, which she kept till her dying day. There were pounds of wonderful sweets, quite unknown in Bestwood. Everybody in the family was mad with happiness. People came in to see William, to see what a difference London had made to him. They all found him such a gentleman, such a fine young man. My word! When he went away again, the children were in tears. Morell took himself off to bed, and Mrs. Morell did all her housework mechanically, robbed of all feeling for days.